Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 13th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Andrew Loveman. Andrew and his wife Catherine and their children Wade and Alice have been members of Mount Brook Baptist for quite some time, and I can't wait for you to hear more about Andrew's life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, he'll read God's Word for us today. Thank you, Andrew, for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Mary. Glad to be here. Today's first reading will be Romans 14, 1 through 12, and I'm reading out of the NIV. Accept the one whose faith is weak, without quarreling over disputable matters. One person's faith allows them to eat anything, but another, whose faith is weak, eats only vegetables. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not, and the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servants stand or fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life so that he might be Lord over both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brother or sister? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, "As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God." So then, each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. And now Psalm 62, again out of the NIV. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long you assault me? Would all of you throw me down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in the hearts they curse. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the low-born are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for reading for the podcast and joining us today. Tell me about your family.
I am married to the former Catherine Cooper, now Catherine Loveman. Most people know her. We've been married for 25, almost 26 years now. My son Wade is 23. He graduated college last May and has been working now in Birmingham for a few months with Stryker, a medical device company. And then Alice, my daughter, is 18, and she is a freshman at Mississippi State. Just finished her first semester now, you know, partway through her second semester, and she's enjoying her time there.
How did you and Catherine meet, and when did you get married?
Well, easiest part, the second question is, we got married in April of 2000. We had dated for a few years, but we met working at the Crestline branch of AmSouth Bank. We did not report to each other, nor to the same person, so there's no controversy there. So she worked upstairs in sort of the personal banking. And I was the assistant branch manager downstairs. After a short time, I asked her on a date, and she said no. So she said, "We can't go out. We work together. That's not right." And so we just kind of became friends and spent some time together amongst larger groups. And my wanting to go out with her didn't change. And so probably, I don't know, many, many months later, I was about to get a promotion, and I told her that the day I got a promotion, I was going to call her and ask her on a date. And so both of us were invited to the same wedding that was coming up right after that, a girl that I grew up with in Gadsden and a guy that had worked at the bank with us. So we decided just to go to that wedding as a date, even though, you know, we had not left our jobs or we worked together. So that was our first date, was at a wedding.
And things went well.
Things went well. She let me have a second date.
So are you still in the banking industry, or have you changed professions? And what is your day-to-day in the work field look like?
So that was back in the mid-90s. I think that was 96-7 time frame. But in 2004, I got into commercial real estate. And now my partners and I have a firm called HSC Commercial Properties, and we have HSC Management. And so basically those two companies, the properties company handles leasing, sales, helping people buy property, sell property. And then HSC Management, we manage property for other folks so that they can, you know, worry about their day-to-day jobs, and we handle the asset for them.
Let's do a couple fun get-to-know-yous. What is your favorite sport to watch, and what is your favorite sport to play?
Well, I grew up with an older brother who was kind of a sport billy, as I was, and we ran and did everything as children. Golf, tennis, baseball, basketball, soccer. Neither one of us were much of football players, but probably due to the fact we were pretty small. But watching, I love my Crimson Tide, so I love to watch Alabama football. And golf is just sort of my hobby, my passion. I grew up right next to a golf course, and so I played a little bit as a kid. And then now I just get out there and try and play as much as I can, and love to talk about it, read about it, play it, watch it, whatever. I just am engrossed with it.
You mentioned a podcast when we were talking earlier that's about golf. What is it? And would you commend it to us?
It's called the No Laying Up Podcast. It's some young guys that just kind of, they didn't know each other. It's very interesting, but they were all commenting on Twitter about golf tournaments while they were watching them on TV. And one guy was in like Amsterdam working for an accounting firm, and one guy was in America. They were all over the place. And they sort of ended up hooking up and starting this little podcast. And now they've all quit their real jobs, and this is what they do for a living. They just kind of cover golf and talk golf. I'm sure it's harder than it sounds, but it sounds like a great life to talk about golf all the time if you're me.
Do they do like human interest stories, or they talk more of the technical, the golf courses? What's the podcast about?
They do talk about golf courses. They talk about the pro tournaments, talk about equipment some and things like that. Travel. They do a lot of travel golf things. So they say, hey, we went and played this great golf course, and they tell you about it, that kind of thing. But I'm very, like I said, kind of a sicko about golf, so it's right up my alley.
What is your favorite meal to eat, and what is your favorite meal to cook?
I am not the greatest cook, but I would say, you know, can throw something on the grill and handle it okay. No one's going to be ordering food from me very soon. So, but in terms of eating, I would love a good steak. I'm a fan of that. And just simple things like potatoes. If you put cut up watermelon in front of me, I can't eat enough of it. It's just, you know, one of the great things in the world that God gave us is watermelon. So steak is probably my favorite thing to eat.
What is a life lesson maybe that your parents gave you growing up that you think about every day?
My dad is a very kind of middle of the road guy. And he used to say moderation in all things. And there were times I needed to be moderated. So that was a good advice. The other one he gave, try not to use the words always and never, because they seem to get you in trouble.
I like that.
If you say, I'll always do that. Well, you might not when you get older. I'll never do that. So he just said, Andrew, as you get older, you're going to want to remove those two words from comments because they'll get you in trouble.
Let's move into talking more about your faith. How did you come to faith, and what has that journey been like with the Lord?
Yeah, so when I believe I was 9, my mom led me to Christ. I walked up to her. I'd been going to church, you know, my whole 9 years or whatever it was at the time. And I just said, Mom, how do you know that you're going to go to heaven? And she walked me through with the sinner's prayer, as I call it. She walked me through that. And explained, you know, what it meant, and did I understand what it meant, that kind of thing, and I did. I'm very grateful. She is quite the role model, spiritual role model in my life. She's always been the kind of person that led Bible studies and volunteered for different organizations like Save a Life and did lots of things. Even still today, in her 80s, she's, I think, running a Bible study at her church back in Gadsden with a lot of girls. So she's just a leader in that way. She's a very quiet leader, but she's always been involved with the church and Bible studies. And just, I went to the right person because she led me to Christ.
What is one of the ways she encourages you daily?
Every single day, my brother, sister, and I, our spouses, our children, and now when my mom's great-grandchildren get old enough, but we all get a text from my mom with a Bible verse that has a short explanation or comment. Occasionally, if it's Valentine's Day, she'll throw in there, Happy Valentine's Day at the end. But it's just her little way to kind of be a leader and to put Christ in us, put Scripture in us every day.
Would you share today's with us?
I will. All right. The text my mom sent today is Isaiah 33:22, and it's out of the NIV. It says, For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our king. It is he who will save us. So that was today's verse from my mom.
You are a deacon at Mountain Brook Baptist. What's your experience like serving in that way?
Yeah, I like leadership roles and being kind of involved in decision making, and have always kind of pushed my way toward that kind of thing in life. And deacon was a role that I never thought about. You know, as a person growing up, you're young, you think about, oh, when I get into this job one day, I'll run the company or I'll do this or that. I never thought about it in terms of my faith in being in any kind of leadership position. I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing, but it just didn't occur to me. And then when I was asked, I gave it thought. Catherine encouraged me and said, Andrew, I think, you know, this would be good and you would enjoy it and you would be someone that has an opinion, sometimes too many, but, you know, she encouraged me to do it. And so I did. I can't remember if I'm now in my second or third cycle of being a deacon, but I just kind of think of it as it's the least I can do for the spiritual guidance that our family gets from the church is for me to be a part of it.
And you're also involved in a Sunday school class. What is the name of your group and what do you appreciate about them?
We've got a great Sunday school class, Cornerstone group or Cornerstone class. And we have some teachers that rotate. They have totally different personalities and ways of teaching. We have interesting personalities, lots of opinions, and people are open to discussion and asking questions and saying, you know, hey, say that again, I don't get it. So it's a great class in that regard because people feel comfortable to sort of ask questions or to bring a comment and say, you know, I think this or what about that kind of thing. And so we've got a great group of people that I enjoy being around. And I think Catherine does too, although she teaches Sunday school every other week, so she's not there as much.
If someone wanted to come and visit your class, where do you meet and what's the demographic?
Yeah, so we are in the chapel. We recently moved there after the renovations and we got plenty of room for anybody that wants to come in there. We have a pretty good attendance. If you come, you'll probably know somebody. I mean, there's a lot of people from a lot of different walks of life and different businesses and that kind of thing. I don't want to guess ages because I'd probably offend somebody, but I would say that it is generally people with high school age children and older. That would be my guess. I may be a little off on that. There's probably some outside that. We got some that all their kids are out of college, some that are in college, some that are about to go to college, but that seems to be the kind of the range that we cover.
So one way that you grow in the faith is by going to Sunday school. What are some other ways that you grow in your love for the Lord and in your experience of spiritual disciplines?
Yeah, Mary, we have a Bible study group that meets in the conference room here in the church offices every Friday morning at 6:30. It was not started by Mountain Brook Baptist guys. It was some guys from another church. A few of them now go to Mountain Brook Baptist, and we're trying to recruit a couple more. But we have Greek Orthodox in there. We've got some churches that are non-denominational. We've got, obviously, Baptist people from different areas. So it's a really interesting group. It's a group of guys that are willing to share sometimes problems and issues in life. And it's really been great for my faith to hear other guys kind of tell what's going on with them or things that they're worried about or praying about. And we've been, you know, really good to each other for going through life.
What are you studying currently?
We do the podcast of a sermon every week and then discuss it. Joel Brooks is the pastor at Redeemer Church. And so we're doing his sermons and doing the podcast from the previous week's sermon.
Do you have a favorite verse of the Bible or story that comes to mind as a favorite?
I don't know what it says about me, but I don't have a verse that I just spend time thinking about or saying, oh, that's my verse in life kind of thing. I don't know why. I've always loved the story of Joseph from the Old Testament. You know, he was sold into slavery by his brothers. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him. He had the chance to kind of get revenge on his family one day, and he didn't do it. He always kept his faith. He always gave his problems to God. He didn't seem to spend a lot of time saying, woe is me. He just kind of kept coming to God with his problems. And I just think it's a great example for all of us.
I remember when you gave your deacon testimony some years back, you talked about your spiritual heritage. Would you share that story with us?
My great-grandfather was Jewish, and he married a woman that was not Jewish. She was a church-going person, I assume a Christian, but I don't know for sure. She went to a church, the Methodist Church in Gadsden, but when they had children, which was my grandfather and his siblings, they were raised in a church and not a synagogue. So I've always felt like that was a big change of trajectory for sort of my family. My mother as well was kind of another piece to that where I always kind of say there's three women that have been the biggest influences in my faith journey. My great-grandmother that I never met, Martha Lewis, and then my mother who led me to Christ and is still a spiritual leader in our family. And then my wife, Catherine, has always encouraged me with taking the next step, doing the next thing, and just she's a good example for me as well.
Thank you so much, Andrew, for joining the podcast and for sharing about your life and faith. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Happy to. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for our church and all the things that are provided, the leadership and the spiritual guidance that we receive. I pray that you will guide the leadership and the ministers at our church always. I pray that you'll bless them. I pray that you will always keep them focusing on the word and not letting the outside distractions of the world pull them away. And God, I just pray that you will help our church to continue to grow and develop and have a place for more people to come and learn more about you. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.